because I'd like you to participate with me in the reading. So what we're going to do is read some selections from two Psalms and from Isaiah chapter 11. And the reason we're picking these verses is because Paul quotes from all of these in our New Testament reading. And I want you to read with me the first one, Psalm 117. Then I will read to you words from David, Psalm 18. And then we will all read together from the prophet Isaiah, great words of truth that are being fulfilled even now in our Lord Jesus Christ. So let us read together the word of God. Praise the Lord, all nations. Extol him, all peoples. For great is his steadfast love towards us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord. For this I will praise you, O Lord, among the nations, and sing to your name. Great salvation he brings to his king, and shows steadfast love to his anointed, to David and his offspring forever. There shall come forth a shoot from the stump of Jesse, and a branch from his roots shall bear fruit. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide disputes by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt of his waist, and faithfulness the belt of his loins. The wolf shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the young goat, and the calf and the lion and the fattened calf together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the coal of a cobra, and the weaned child shall put his hand on the adder's den. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the glory of knowledge of the Lord. Waters cover the sea. In that day the root of Jesse, who shall stand as a signal for the peoples, of him shall the nations inquire, and his resting place shall be glorious. Thank you, Father, for these words from the Old Testament that still are your living word to us today. As we also now turn to the New Testament, thank you that you continue to speak to us. Help us to hear what you are saying. Thank you that you're with us to enable us to understand, to reveal yourself to us as our Savior and our Lord, as our rescuer and deliverer and our everything. Lord, release that understanding today. Release us to receive your saving power and growth and transforming grace in our lives. We receive your word in Jesus' name. Amen. And so our New Testament reading is from Romans 15. We continue our studies. And as well as these words being on the screen, I encourage you to turn in your own Bible if you have one, because I want us to follow through these verses as we go through, because I believe it's a meal of richness from God for his people. That's us. We want to not just bolt it down, not just miss the flavor, not miss the nutrition, but receive deep within our deepest places what God is doing, how he is working among us. Romans 15, verse 8. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles, that's us from all the nations, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you all with joy, with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Thank you, Lord, for these words. I'm looking for the Scheibner family today, but I don't think they're here, because I wanted us to sing happy birthday to Lasse. He's 6 today, but maybe they've been distracted by some other way on their birthday. I don't know. But she was telling some of us at a meeting this week about something, and she gave me permission to share it with you as well now. And she was telling us how the Scheibner family have this habit. When they get the three younger children, when they get dropped off at the international school, they all stand at the door and kiss one another goodbye right there at the school. And they always do it all the time. And there's one day when, for some reason or other, Lasse, who's 6 today, he did not get a kiss from Liefke, his big sister. I think she's 11, isn't she? Something like that. And they all went away to their classrooms. But Lasse was so, so upset. And if you know Lasse, you know that can really be very upset for him and also for others around him. Manuela thought, there's no way I can leave this boy at school without him getting his kiss from his sister. So she took him to his sister's classroom, which was in a completely different part of the building, and she explained it to the teacher, and the teacher said, of course. And the teacher brought Liefke out of the classroom so that Liefke and Lasse could have their kiss. And everything was fine, and they both went and had a great day at school. Lasse had been recognized properly in his mind, in his heart, by his sister. And later the teacher commented to Manuela, what is it about your family? You have something very special. My family doesn't have that. I wonder what your experience of your family is. And what about the family that we are? IBC Bremen, this church. Each of us also needs recognition. Maybe not with an actual kiss. For some of us, maybe it is appropriate, especially if you're married. But certainly in some way. We're seeing that this letter to the Romans is all about how God's plan of salvation through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is for all nations. And so we're talking a lot about making disciples who make disciples, because that, according to Jesus Christ, is at the core of who we are and what we're here for. But that is not the same as saying all we need to do is evangelism. That's not what that means. And so we see in this letter about the gospel salvation to the nations, which is what Romans is, that since chapter 12, Paul is teaching and explaining and expounding that the way that it works, that God does that, is through his family, through Christian brothers and sisters, and in their relationships one with the other. So I'm grateful to Ola, who covered verses 5 to 7 last week, and their call, the call of those verses, verse 7 especially, to us all, to welcome one another as Christ welcomed us. Because making disciples is another way of talking about how God gets his children back, how his children are rescued from the loneliness of their broken relationship with him in sin, how they and how we too are still being healed and more made whole and becoming free through the gospel. So making disciples is as much about my needs and your needs as anybody else's. Our need, my need for belonging, your need for belonging, for someone who really listens, for someone who really understands, for someone who accepts me so I know I'm safe and can share my heart and all its agonies, who reaches out and calls us when we're not there, who we can be real with because we know they recognize us for who we are. This week I was pleasantly surprised by two people I met very briefly. One was the barman, where a few of us, you know who you are, were enjoying a beer on Friday night. And the other was a lady who served me the next day, yesterday, at the petrol station where I went to fill up. Usually these kinds of scenes are too brief and too busy for any real person-to-person encounter. But in both cases, I found myself chatting to this barman and chatting to this lady in a way that I came out feeling special. They smiled in an open way to me. They asked me questions. They took time to answer my questions. My heart was warmed. If this is the case in the world outside the church, which is still waiting to be reconciled to God, how much more is it the case inside the family here? The family of divine reconciliation, where the gospel overcomes all sin, all barriers of every kind. This is the Christian church. This is the biblical truth of who we are. And so we enjoy it, but we can also ask and should ask, and I need to ask myself, how am I getting on with living that out? How are we getting on with living out this biblical truth? Of course, no family is perfect. Mine is certainly not perfect either. No church is perfect. If you ever think you found the perfect church, as soon as you join it, it won't be perfect anymore because we are all work in progress. But in verse 6, as we saw last week, Paul is telling the Christians in the church at Rome, he's explaining the gospel to them so that, quote, together they may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. To glorify God means to show what God is like. The glory of God is what God is like. So to glorify God is to say, we show with our lifestyle and with our who we are, how we live, how wonderful and holy and loving and true and righteous. Any language, whether it's in English or German or whatever your language is not sufficient really to describe the glory of God. And Paul's vision for them and for us, therefore, as a church, is that we would be a family that shines with this likeness of God, that it just loves to be together, that it just can't wait for Sunday, or it can't wait for the small group in the week, can't wait to get up with that prayer partner because it's so good to be together. Because there is that heartwarming welcome. There is that practical care. There is that deepest mutual understanding. And it's so great that those encounters are the priority. Those encounters are the high points in our busy schedule. I wonder if you've ever tasted that. I wonder where you've tasted it. I wonder how you taste it here. Because according to the New Testament, obviously from this verse as well as elsewhere, it is what, if we take this word seriously, this is what God has in mind for his church. And so let's, as I say, follow through these verses and see some more specifics about this. And firstly, today we see, I'm calling it God's most beautiful family. When we went on the church retreat, I've said before, one of the highlights for me were the games on Saturday afternoon. The games were good, but it was more than the games. It was how the games helped us to be together. How it helped us to get to know each other more. I saw things about Keith I never knew before. The way in which he was so competitive. I didn't know, Keith, you had such a competitiveness about you. That's good, God gave it to you. And what was even better was, and I'm not just pointing the finger at you, it was others too, some of the guys who were competing against you, who are also here today or not here today, but you were holding back. You were saying, I'm going to get this guy. Oh no, I'm a Christian, you know, I'm loving. But it was very interesting to see, and it was being revealed, and we were getting to know each other in this joyful way. We laughed and laughed and laughed. This was the glory of God in our midst. The gospel is about God's restored family that others, like the school teacher, can look at and say, wow, look at that family. How glorious is that? I want to be a part of that family. And so we see this God's most glorious, most beautiful, most, you could say, most glorious family overflows with hope, verses 13 and 12. Our brother, I'm sorry, I always forget your name, brother. Your name, yes. Marcus, that's right, Marcus. I think, Marcus, you're from the FCB Hop Church, is that right? Yes, good. I didn't know Marcus was going to be here today, but I know Marcus, some of us know Marcus through the Turning and the other prayer meetings that we have together with other Christians in the city. And I hear, Marcus, that your church has recently changed its name to Hop, or Hoop. How do you say it? Hope, which apparently is Plattdeutsch for hope. Yeah. So it's the church is just called Hope. And as I prepared this sermon on this passage, it occurred to me just how biblically strong that name is. It's a great name for a church. I hadn't really realized that. I looked at the website, and as soon as I get into the first homepage, it says, Hope, willkommen zu Hause, Kirche für dich. Hope, welcome home, church for you. That's what Paul is talking about. That's cool, Marcus. Because the family of God shines with the glory of God when it is filled with hope. Paul says, he prays, he brings his blessing in verse 13, may the God of hope so fill you that you are abounding in hope. That's what the Holy Spirit does wants to do with us as a family. That we're a family so filled with the Holy Spirit, we're abounding in hope. The word abounding in Greek means filled so much. Like if I, this could be abounding. I'm not going to do it because I might not be so popular. But if I kept pouring this and pouring this and pouring this so that all of the water just kept going into the glass, what would happen to the glass? It would be overflowing with water. That's what the word abounding means. It's a great name. Because every church should be like that. Every church, Paul's in God's intention, according to the scripture, is that as a community, we are constantly being overflowing. We are constantly overflowing with hope. That's what we're about. What is hope? Hope is to really look forward to something. That's to hope. And the hope that we have is something that really is worth everything to look forward to. In particular, of course, the eternal hope that Jesus has got for us, and that the Gentiles Paul is talking about will be included in the new creation to come, where there's no crying and no death and no mourning and no pain, as the Bible tells us, that all the nations will be saved through the gospel, that our missionary purpose as a church will be fulfilled. But it's also for now as well as not yet that we grow in our wholeness, we grow in our love for Jesus as we've been worshiping today. As Paul says in Philippians, that God would not, he will not give up the work he began in us. It's continuing. So there is hope for your marriage in its crisis. There is hope for your children that you're scared for because you don't know how to bring them up in this challenging world. There is hope for God's great plan for your life. There is hope that for a love that meets your needs. There is real hope. There is hope for a new beginning if you're finding that your fellowship with God or with others has grown cold. My dear brother or sister, whatever you are going through, there is hope in the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for all the sin that causes those needs. And we are the family. We're part of the family in Bremen. with Marcus and his brothers and sisters and all the others and the family of God around the world and in eternity. We're part of the body of Christ. We're part of the church of Jesus Christ, where this gospel is to be discovered and where this gospel is to be applied in loving relationships together, a community of gospel hope. Verse 13, that we're overflowing with hope and joy and peace. And so to help us see how this works, let's look at the other aspects of this beautiful family name. It's a family that's in love with God together. I really enjoyed the worship today. We've always been blessed as a church family over all the years as I listened to the history, that by those that God has brought among us with gifts and willing hearts to serve us in leading worship, in song. And God has done this because the Word tells us that this glorifying God is with one voice. It suggests worship in song. And that's what Paul has quoted, these three passages out of the four Old Testament ones, that the Gentiles praise God, that the Gentiles sing to his name, the nations, that the Gentiles rejoice and extol the Lord, telling God how much he is worth. The children today are doing the story of Jesus and the woman who broke the jar of alabaster, the alabaster jar of the most expensive perfume, showing Jesus how much he was worth to her because she had been forgiven for all of her sin. That's worship, isn't it? Telling God how much he is worth. So grateful for the way in which the Lord used Warren to lead us that way today, because that's what this is saying. He who gave us all, without whom we are dead in sin. Lord, I belong to you. Everything I am and everything I have comes from you. My life is in your hands. Take and do with it whatever you want. Let's make the most of our opportunities here to worship God together, because that is what it means to be God's most beautiful family, being in love with God together. And of course, this family is from all nations. And so these four scriptures that Paul quotes from the Old Testament, it's interesting, they come from the four different categories of literature in the Old Testament. In other words, while this Old Testament's written for Jews, God is clearly showing, Paul's showing how God is saying through the whole of it that his purpose always was not just for the Jews to save them, but to save all nations, to have a family made up of all nations, Jews and Gentiles. And so verse 9, from the writings from Psalm, and also it's in 2 Samuel, God's people, the Jews, are to praise God among the Gentiles. Verse 10, from the law, and that's actually a translation, it's from the Latin translation from Deuteronomy 32. We didn't read that one. The Gentiles are to be invited into the praise of God in his family. And then verse 11, we did read that from Psalm 117. The Jews and the Gentiles will praise the Lord together. In other words, Jews, the vision is, God's family, God's beautiful family is Jews and Germans and Malaysians and Americans and Sri Lankans and Brits and Ghanaians and Cameroonians and Liberians and Kenyans and Nigerians and Filipinos and Japanese and Sierra Leoneans and Jamaicans and Indonesians and Fijians and French and Zimbabweans and Danes and Irish and Swedes and Togolese and Koreans and Ugandans and Ukrainians and Finns, he's here today, and Spaniards and Brazilians and Hondurans and Canadians and Moldavians and Lebanese and Afghans and Poles, and I'm very sorry if I've left you out. Please remind me at the end if I have. Which one? Scottish. Well, I said Brits. Because I'm for together. I don't want this Scottish independence. English and Scottish, we'll put it that way. Scottish and English. And Welsh and Irish. How cool that a church like ours actually has a special opportunity to be how God intended it to be. Because we are representing all those nations, all those Gentiles that he came for. Wow, interesting. The international family, you see, is God's amazing plan. That's what it will be like when we get to heaven. God's most beautiful family. This is what we're about. Secondly, God's all-powerful strategy. How does he make it happen? He does this. What is he up to? What is he doing right now, week by week, in our struggle, in the reality, in our frustrations, in the challenges we face? Because the enemy does not like this plan, and he's trying to stop it and distract us from it and pull us in other directions. What is he doing? God makes this happen. He brings his children under the order of the kingdom of God, the lordship of Christ. This is what verse 12 says. Of course, the reason we struggle with our struggles, whatever they may be, our anxieties, our fears, our lonelinesses, our sinful desires, our selfishness, our carelessness, can't be bothered, our boredom, our frustration. We are unruly children. That's our sinful nature, how we have corrupt minds. Our hearts are unbelieving and selfish and deceitful, the Bible tells us. And so we grieve God deeply. We offend him. And then without Christ, we're spiritually dead. As we've said, we're deserving of eternal punishment in hell. And so here comes the fourth quotation from the Old Testament, verse 12 from Isaiah 11 that we read from the prophet section of the Old Testament. This, God's beautiful family, is all accomplished by the root of Jesse, is what the words say. In other words, the great messianic ruler who will come from the line of David, who was the son of Jesse. As the nations come under his rule and find their hope in him. That's what it says. That's why I'm encouraging you to follow in your Bible. Verse 12. So the deepest thing that unites us actually is not that we are an international church. The deeper thing is that each one of us has been welcomed into the kingdom of God by the King himself. And if you haven't yet been welcomed in, he's waiting to welcome you as you turn to him and say, yes, I believe, I turn from my sin. How so? Because Jesus Christ, the sinless one, took the punishment for all of our sin on the cross, so that sinners as I am and you are, he offers us forgiveness, he offers us his free righteousness, his new righteousness. This is the source of our hope. No other. It's all there. It's all in him, it's all there. I was delighted to hear from Sister Marge that another one of our young adults, and I'm not going to embarrass her, but she's here today, apparently, according to Marge, received this gospel hope this week. She came to accept this truth. She came to the point of saying, yes, Lord Jesus, I believe in you. I turn from my sin. I will live for you now. And so, sister, you know who you are. We welcome you to our family, the Lord's family. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous. And now when we are in that place and we are forgiven and secure in eternal life, we begin the lifelong work of being changed, of becoming free, and being filled with hope along with everyone else in the family as the Lord brings the believer more and more and more under his order as he's reigning. And so, brother and sister, what is your testimony this week? Not just the sister who became a Christian, but all of us. What has God been working on your heart about this week? What stubbornness is he melting? He's working on my stubbornness, so what's yours? I'm not the only one, am I? To deliver us from the gods that distract us and want us to depend on them rather than just on him. What issue is God's kingdom coming up to say, come on, let's deal with this. Let's break through this. What is it? The cutting edge is not easy. But it's where God wants us to be because we're in a battle for the kingdom of God. It's about the nations being saved. It's about us becoming whole and healed. It all goes together. That's what God is doing. He's always doing this. He's always increasing his kingdom. Are you aware of that? Are you enjoying that? And then he's also, these verses say, how a key part of how that works is that God is always working towards gospel harmony across every division and every disagreement. That comes out particularly in verse 5 and verse 13. I think it was Wednesday when I was walking through the Hauptbahnhof. As I entered the main door near the information area, I heard this lovely piano music playing. Beautiful noise, beautiful sound. Not noise, sound. And people were stopping. People are usually rushing and, oh, get out. I just get out of my way. I want to get to my station, my platform. And they weren't. They were stopping. And they were smiling. Also, not quite so common in the Hauptbahnhof when people look miserable and depressed and stressed. And they were smiling about the music, and they were stopping to listen to the music. And so I also stopped, and the musician had his head down like this, and then he looked up, and he looked down, and as he looked up, I thought, it's Joel, who's also one of our brothers. I don't think Joel's here today. But, oh, that's cool. And he carried on playing. I wasn't going to tell you the next bit, but this actually really blessed me. I will tell you. And he carried on playing, and all these people are looking and enjoying and smiling, and he looks up, and he sees me, and he stops playing, and he says, that's my pastor. And all these people go, oh, that's the pastor? Okay. I was touched, very touched by that. Paul is quoting all these texts about Jews and Gentiles, because due to sin and due to evil, the deepest division there has ever been and ever will be between anybody, any human group and another, is between the Jews and all the others. That's what God is really working with. That's a big subject in itself. But the point here is these Old Testament verses about Jews four times or three times, Jews and Gentiles worshiping together, all flowing on from this verse 5 thing, that Paul's saying God is bringing us to a point where we will bring beautiful glory to God. We'll be the beautiful family of God, living in this harmony with one another when it's Jews and Gentiles. In other words, people from whatever barrier coming together. You see, actually being an international church like us, while it's cool, it's exciting, I tell you this as an experienced pastor in different churches, international churches are harder churches to lead and to be a part of and to serve in. Because it's so much easier to misunderstand each other from our different backgrounds. It's so much easier to offend or to take offense because we haven't really understood. We don't really know the other person's culture like our own. It's much easier to give up because the other people are just so different to me or to where I come from or you. But as Joel pointed out to me, and we talked about it, his playing, when we met the next time, the beauty of harmonious music, he said, the beauty of the harmonious music is when the musician brings all the different notes into his order. And if you ever watch Joel playing, he kind of uses all the notes on the whole keyboard. He's improvising. The reason that God's family is so beautiful and is overflowing with hope is that harmony does not mean that all of our differences are melted down and that we all become the same, but that what makes us distinctive in the way God has made us, he brings together to make the family even more beautiful, even more glorious. So that when Christian brothers and sisters, whether they're Jews or Gentiles or weak or strong or rich or poor or African or European or Asian or American or conservative or charismatic or Pentecostal or Lutheran or Baptist or Anglican, when they're drawn together to praise the Lord Jesus Christ, when they're drawn together even more to work with Jesus in his mission, they're bringing God glory because they're embodying God's plan. That harmony, the united body, the unified body in Christ is the channel, Paul says, of Christ's gospel ministry. It's his ministry, not ours. And the channel that he uses is his united body. We are not united often because sin breaks us up. So he is working to restore that unity. God is doing this among us. He's doing it in our family here. The Bible tells us so. You might not realize it, but if we take this, that's what he's doing. And he's also doing it across the world, and he's doing it across Bremen. And we do see evidence, I believe. Marcus is here today. That's one piece of evidence. That a brother comes from another church, that's fine. I expect you went to your church today, this morning, and it's good. And what we're seeing is more and more partnerships across different parts of the family in Bremen right now. We're seeing more worship together, more friendship, more praying together, more pastors having breakfast together, where we're talking about the mission of God to this city. Let's receive and engage with this work among us that God is doing. And we're calling it gospel unity, because it's through the gospel and only through the gospel it can be. And the gospel is that if I and you are accepted by God in spite of our deficiencies and flaws, and not because anything that we have to do to be accepted by him, how can we not accept any other believer despite their deficiencies and flaws? Do we think that we are more righteous than him, than that? How? If Jesus was willing to humble himself and die for us, what small offense could be done to us that we cannot forgive? That God's plan for his most beautiful family is so huge and vital for the salvation of the world, what matter of secondary theological importance should rob us of the beauty and the wonder of uniting on the essentials of who we are as the one body of Christ? And so let us do our part in receiving God's work and in just realizing he's working and going with him as he works to bring us under his kingdom, in his kingdom, in his order, and to bring that harmony. And so just quickly, the third part is, we also see there's a huge amount in these verses, and I don't want us to miss it. So just quickly, God is also showing us his way for us to be included in what he's doing. Verse 13 and verse 7 again. And really, I think you can sum this section up by just saying, think other. Turn your heart away from just looking inwards and look to God and look to the others. First of all, look to God. Put all your reliance in God. God's promise is that as the God of hope, he fills us with joy and peace and hope as we believe. Believing in Jesus, believing he died for my sin and your sin. Believing he died for the sin that causes all those problems. Not just, as we said in our worship, not just, oh yes, some words of belief, but really depending on him in the midst of the battle. It seems to me more and more that God often keeps us not in the easy place in life. He keeps us where it's tough, because that is where we learn to truly rely on him, because there's no other way to keep going, to survive. And then he can work and do his wonder and reveal his glory. Trusting God. And then verse 7 again, opening our hearts to one another. I repeat verse 7 because verse 8, which we looked at this time, says, "For I tell you," he's referring back to verse 7. He's reinforcing this ethic in regard to relating to each other. Always welcome the other in the same way that Christ welcomed you. Let's really get to know one another. I received a lovely welcome today, and I came into the church, and I'm sure you did as well. And it's lovely to see brothers and sisters opening their hearts to each other. It's lovely to see the friendship between brothers and sisters. There's a ministry fair today. If you join one of these teams, you can really have a great time. Like this team, they have a wonderful time of friendship and fun and fellowship because they're serving together and they get to know one another. I wonder which team you're in. You can sign up today or listen to God, ask him to show you which team. Talk to the ministry leaders before you leave. This week, the strategy team will present some plans and suggested tools to the deacons and the church council about ways in which we can try and make this work more. International churches where we're all so busy and we're coming and going, it's quite hard to do this, to realize this truth. So we want to work to find ways to do it. Be part of it so that we can each find that place where we can be recognized and valued, where we can be totally open and able to share our deepest needs, where we can know that we are accepted by our brothers and sisters because we're accepted by Jesus Christ. You know, when a family has a problem, the easiest thing is to blame the others, isn't it? It's my dad, it's my mom, it's my brother and my sister. And then I suddenly look and think, oh look, there's three fingers pointing back at me. It's the same in the church. Have I done something wrong? How can I be part of the solution? How can I start to pray or reach out or love the other person and overcome any divisions or reach another person's need for companionship because they're lonely as well as me being lonely or whatever it is that we're struggling, instead of just looking at ourselves? It's the way of sinful flesh to say, I just walk away. But the way of the most beautiful family is to say, we come to the barriers and the Lord takes us across them. This is the way of Christ, welcoming one another as Christ has welcomed us, being transparent. When we ask, how are you? We mean it. And when the person says, how are you? We give them an honest answer. But of course, we have to get to know and trust. So we have to work as well. Christ is the hope of the whole world and the universe. All Jews and Gentiles, those he's drawing to himself. God's most beautiful family is the church. As it overflows with hope, the hope that Jesus releases through the gospel. As it is in love with God together, having such a great time together in love with God. It's not all easy, it's challenging, but deep down it's love and hope from all nations the people come. And so he's doing this. And the way he does it is he brings all his children, his sons and daughters from all those nations. He's bringing, he's working to bring them through the gospel under his lordship, under his rule. And in particular, that means he's working to break down all the barriers wherever they exist. Don't let a barrier put you off. See how Jesus is saying, we're going to cross this barrier. God's way is for us to be included, and the way we can do it, only he can do these things. We must rely on him. And because he has welcomed us, in him we can welcome and must welcome each other. Let us pray. Let's stand and pray. I invite you to stand.